your Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at James chapter 2. We've been studying through the book of James, understanding faith that works. There was a couple of verses that we've looked at that kind of wrap up the concept of James, found in James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, also found in James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the first part of James chapter 2. It's kind of a different type of concept, especially being in, thinking about it on a Sunday morning. Because James is dealing with partiality. In some sense, he's dealing with today what most people would call prejudice. There was a judge that was looking at picking jurors. And so he was glaring down the bench at a prospective juror. And the juror had told the judge, "Oh, you don't want me. You don't want me at all." And the judge was kind of glaring down at the juror, and the juror looked up, or the judge said to him, "Why is it that you don't want to serve on this jury?" The man looked at the judge and said, "Well, I'm biased. One look at that man over there, I know he's guilty." The judge was just really irritated. And the judge looked at the man and he said, "All right, the man you're pointing at is not the defendant, he's the district attorney." All right, and so some of us have bias, all right, which probably he deserved to be in jail too, and he was guilty. But many of us come into it and we have a bias, and that's what James is kind of dealing with in James chapter 2. So let's read some of it. I think many of us will kind of get the concept right away as it comes through the pages of God's Word. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 1, "My brethren," so notice this right away, he's not writing to a society. So those of you that think that I'm gonna deal with racial prejudice this morning, I'm not really going to deal with that. Why? Because we're going to deal with the context. And the context is dealing in a church. In a church. And some people think that no partiality ever happens in a church. And if you think that's true, you are deceiving yourself. Because I would venture today that somebody sitting in our church and both being brethren or sisters, it could be even in the course of the last month, somebody has passed judgment on another fellow believer and said, "Well, I know them." What do you mean? You can read their mind? You know their heart? Oh, all of a sudden you're God. And that's what James is dealing with. My brethren, partiality. Partiality that creeps into a church, and what it does is it ruins faith. And you'll see that right in verse 1. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." So he's saying that the faith of our Savior can be ruined when you have respect to persons. "For there cometh unto your assembly." You almost have to say this with read it with a different voice. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, 'Sit thou here in a good place,' say to the poor, 'Stand thou there,' or 'Sit here under my footstool.'" Look at verse 4. "Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" This is interesting. This is the only time that this phrase is used in verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, James renames through the inspiration, through the Holy Spirit, he renames God's second commandment. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, it's found in the Gospels, what is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Heavenly Father, I pray that as this morning we look at this idea of faith working through partiality, I pray that you would help us, Lord. We many of us think that it doesn't creep into a church, this idea of partiality. And yet, Lord, you wouldn't have James 2 here if it wasn't a problem. Lord, I pray that you would direct our hearts towards Scripture. You would help us to analyze our hearts and align it to Scripture. And as always, Lord, I ask you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. James' concept of partiality is snobbery, favoritism. And it's almost always, you see it in this context, it's almost always predicated by looking at the exterior. And when, and the book of James, think about it, it's written to individuals, it's written to Christians, it's written to brethren. Over and over you see James addressing the brethren, the brethren, the brethren. So it's not talking about the world necessarily, it's talking about you and I that profess Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he's saying be careful of just looking at somebody because you have this gift. And you have this gift of looking right through to their heart. I'm sorry, none of us have that. None of us have that gift. Now, do not take it out of context because we preach often about separation. We preach about standards, which I believe James is addressing and saying that a faith that believes in God's works itself out through your life. And so there should be an evidence. There should be an evidence, James chapter 3 tells us, and we'll be covering that in a couple of weeks. James chapter 3 says, hey, you guys that say you're Christians and you're cutting everybody down, you better check your faith. He also talks in James chapter 4, and he talks about those that profess Jesus Christ and all their whole life is consumed with gaining riches and riches and riches and riches. James, man, he is, I'm telling you, James as a preacher, he puts the pedal to the metal. He's right there on the ground, as he says, he's right there at the pavement for you and I. And he's calling us on the carpet saying, some of you, you talk about Jesus Christ and you talk about knowing him as a Savior and you talk about, we can go to the New Testament and the Gospels and we can read the model prayer and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. And we see someone walk in. Look at that loser. What did you just pray? Many of us have a problem with this idea of partiality because you think that you are blessed with this innate sense that with a 3-second look, loser. Now, I understand that the majority of you are losers. No, I'm just kidding. All right, partiality. All right. Most of us would say, well, you know, isn't there? And that's where you take it in context. I am not saying a man's works do express his life. And some, this is what amazes me with some that are so partial. Some that are so partial, their words deny their Christianity. Because they themselves are like, well, did you say, I mean, do you understand? Wait a minute. So have you read James 3? Have you read James 3 where it says that your mouth is denying the faith that you say you hold up. Your mouth is denying. Why? Because you're ripping its poison. It's spewing out evil and devilish. The Bible calls it in James chapter 3. The Bible here is instructing us to watch out for partiality. James here, the real problem here in this passage is not necessarily, and that's where some people, I'm always reading and listening to different things, and a number of guys took this passage and they used it to kind of talk about racial prejudice. That's not necessarily, you read the same passage I read, it's not really talking about racial prejudice, because racial prejudice, it can happen, and I understand that it can be there in a society, but what it's talking about, this happens more. You know what happens more? Rich and poor. You and I both know it. I mean, I can say this as a pastor. Somebody walks in and they pull up with their limo, all right, or I walk up and knock on the door of their house, and the door opens and the butler's there and is like, hello. And I'm like, oh, I'd like to speak to, Joe Dork. And he's like, oh, you would like to speak with Mr. Dork. I'm like, yeah, is Dork home? And so he's like, if you could wait in the parlor. I'm like, oh, or in the study. All right. And so he takes me over, and it takes me a mile through the marble hallways to get to the study. And then the study opens up, and I'm like, holy cow. Wow. All right. And then Joe Dork comes in. Now, I can tell you this. As a pastor, I'm thinking, man, if I can get this guy saved. Wow, he could pay off our auditorium. And so he comes in like, sir, how art thou? I was just wondering how thy day was going. And you know what? All of us have that. It kind of runs in our mind. All right, and so then I go to somebody else's house. We're knocking on doors, and here's, Mr. Dork, with his fine marble hallways. And then I go to somebody else. Man, and it's pretty rough. I mean, you could almost, I don't know if you could call it a shack. All right, it just kind of propped up there. Walk up, and man, from outside, from 20 feet away, you can smell the sewage. Now, you and I both know. We all will have a little partiality. Huh. I don't know. I guess God loves them, but I mean, I really want to share Christ with this other guy. That's what James is dealing with. See, the gospel is the great equalizer. Amen. The gospel, it belongs in those marble hallways. The gospel, it should be presented there, but the gospel also should be presented equally to this hut. And this is what I know. I have met some people, and this is what James is addressing. I have met some people that are very wealthy, and they are very condescending, and I walk away and I'm thinking, you know what? You don't need the gospel. But I've met some people. I've been in the Philippines. I've been to Cambodia. I've been to some of these very poor places, even in Mexico, even in the Philippines. And I've told you this before. I've been to an area. It was called Cardboard City. Their houses were cardboard. And I preached there in a church. And afterwards, you talk about humbling. Afterwards, I'm trying to leave, and the pastor said, hey, the people wanted to talk to you. So I turn around, and they gave me a gift. It still sits at my house. And when I look at it, it reminds me of Christians that have such a heart for God. Because you see, the gospel is without partiality. And this morning, that's the beauty as we start out. I always try to address this to somebody that maybe walked in and you say, you know, oh man, look at this auditorium. God has blessed us with a wonderful auditorium and beautiful facilities. But that doesn't mean that, oh, I've got to have some status to accept Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And even Paul said, of whom I am chief. You know what? All of us are sinners. There's nobody in here that reached some level and God said, well, you know what? I don't really know if I have to die for him because he's pretty good. No, all of us are sinners. All of us have to come before Jesus Christ and accept him. It doesn't matter rich or poor. It doesn't matter what country you're born in. All of us have to accept Jesus Christ and bow to him and say, he is my Savior. So this morning you may say, well, as we get into it, I'm not saying there's some status. What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ, is, with the gospel, all of us are equal. You know, there was here in this passage, well, I'm going to read one verse and you'll understand it. It's in the book of Proverbs. And one man wrote this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. He said, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of the Lord God in vain. Here was one wise man, and this is what he said. You know what? I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor, because that's what he's addressing. James could be addressing the poor, because there's some people that are poor and they're partial to those that are rich. Now, that is not always common, but it's very common that the rich then are partial to the poor. And what James is saying in a church, this should not be. Because what happens? There's an equalizer. And what is the equalizer? It's Jesus Christ. I know I talk to Tony and I talk to Todd sometimes because of the race issue. And really, as a Christian, when Jesus Christ comes in and you're born again and you grow in the Lord, I don't see black or white or Asian or, I don't know, or Martian, all right, which I don't think there are, all right, but I don't see that. And I'm going over to China. You know what I'm going to find in China? A sweet spirit between those that are saved between us. That's what happened in the Philippines. That's what happened in Cambodia. That happens down in Mexico. You can't speak the same language, but man, there's a kindred spirit. That's what Jesus Christ does. There's no partiality. So I want to look at just a couple of things in this passage to show us. In verses 1 through 4, it tells us that partiality is in contrast to faith in our Lord. Notice he says that right away. He says, have not the faith of our Lord with partiality, with respect to person. So right away, what is he saying? If you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we will address a little bit of race, but what this addresses most is rich and poor. And it's wrong for me to say that partiality is there toward the rich. Just as much if you're sitting here and if you're poor and you say, well, those rich people, you need to be careful. It's a wrong spirit. And what James is addressing is the spirit of a Christian, and faith changes me from the inside so that now somebody that rich, I pray for them and say, God, save their soul. Let's get them the gospel. But somebody that's poor, the same way. That's why in a church setting, it should be that we knock on every door. It shouldn't be that, those rich people over there, I'm not going to knock on their, they were snooty to me. They were snobby. They still need Christ. But then the poor, I don't know that God would want them. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Partiality is contrary to faith. What is he? He gives a hypothetical situation here. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring. So he contrasts a poor person walking in and a rich person walking in. Now you would say, wow, what a hypothetical situation. Yeah, all of us have been there. Ooh, they must have means. Whoa, look at that fine apparel. And we kind of cast judgment, don't we? And so what James is saying, a Christian faith, is impartial. Why? Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to reach people with the gospel. It seems as though this is a guest walking in, doesn't it? So a guest walking into our auditorium, whether rich or whether poor, they should be greeted heartily. That's our job as Christians here. As Christians here, we shouldn't be partial in giving the gospel out. We shouldn't be partial. And our faith, what it's saying is, if you have a strong faith and you're a respecter of persons, then what you have is not a strong faith. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ breaks that down because Jesus did that. He broke it down for us. The contrast is not the man's clothing, but it's actually the contrast is how the context is saying, how is he treated? That's the contrast. We see a contrast in the man's clothing, but the contrast that James is trying to get across to you and I is, how is that man treated? So somebody, remember Jesus Christ sitting off on the temple in the corner of the treasury? Remember he was watching people give? And that kind of illustrated, because all of these guys, they were, most believed that they would do it with flair. Okay? They would do it with flair. It's almost like the idea, remember the rich man, he fared sumptuously. I just like that word. I have no idea what it means, but it's just like, wow, I am faring sumptuously. You're like, what does that mean? I don't know, but it just sounds good. All right? What it means is the idea is that, man, it's just over and abundance. It's just bubbling over. Man, there's whatever you desire, you're faring sumptuously. Well, that's the idea of these rich men that were there, and they're pouring into the coffers. And you can almost see the priest. You can almost hear the cackling of the people that were collecting, the doorkeepers. Like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Dork. Remember Mr. Dork? Oh, Mr. Dork is here. And he brought in his payment. But what did Christ say? He looked over and he saw a widow, and she tossed in everything she had. But I'm pretty sure there was no trumpets. There was no doorkeeper running and saying, oh, Mrs. So-and-so. But what did Jesus notice? Jesus noticed. Hey, all of these people that were there saying, oh, look at all of this. They didn't notice, but Jesus did. And that's what counts for you and I. A faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. My work, my giving, my service is all being watched by Christ. So he sees if I am heartily accepting a poor person and I'm heartily accepting a rich person. But he also sees if I'm partial, and he says, wow, your faith is weak. That's what he's addressing. Verse 3, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, saying to him, sit thou here in a good place. Say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are became judges of evil thoughts? And this is what he's getting across to you and I. Nobody here, I don't care what type of gift you think you have, nobody is able to read thoughts. God can. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents, not of their heart, of your heart. The Word of God can cut through to you, and that's what the Word of God is doing to you and I this morning. Because it's cutting through, because even here in our midst, there's some of you. And I'm glad that we have a church that is so gung-ho behind the bus ministry. But you know why some? I've heard this from churches. You know why some don't like the bus ministry? Well, those kids. They've ruined the bathrooms. They smelled up this. Partiality. That's what it is. I'm not saying it shouldn't be organized. And our bus workers know that. This and our Sunday school teachers, our junior church workers, we're going to have things done decently in order. But when we get to the place that all of a sudden, in order to be a member of this church, in order to outreach in this church, you have to be at this yuppie level, then God forgive us as a church. Because we are being a respecter of person. God says, what type of Christian are you? What type of faith do you got? Where did I pull you from? I pulled you up out of that miry clay. You didn't deserve anything. And that's the way some of us think about our Christianity. Oh, you don't understand. You don't know my breeding. I've said this about my children and my name. I've told them, what is a Dameron? I don't know what it is, but we are children of Jesus Christ. That is who we lift up. And my name is nothing. My worth is nothing. All I am is because of Jesus Christ. And that needs to be, as a church, it's not that, oh, you don't know how I was reared. You were reared as a sinner. That's what you were. You're a sinner. There's not, and you're like, oh, you don't know the breeding. Well, take the stinking silver spoon out of your mouth and let me go get some of the crud that's over here. Because that's what you smell like to God. Because God can't stand partiality. Our faith is weakened when we have partiality. Look at what else. Partiality is also contrary to God's purpose. Look at verse 5. So, partiality goes against a Christian faith. Partiality also goes against God's purpose. What do we see in verse 5? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? This is down through history. Mr. Steve Brady mentioned about studying Baptist history. You know what you'll notice about Baptist history? He could testify to this. I don't really know of any rich Baptist. I don't. Now, in America, some of it has come because then they get these conventions together and all that, and all of a sudden, you know, they get a little more wealth. But there's not really rich Baptists because really we're not people of this world. We're not people of this world. And down through the history of time, and he mentioned a couple of the Waldenses and some of the other ones, down through that time, they were hated, they were despised, and they didn't have a lot of this world's material. And I don't think we'll ever have a lot of this world's material as Baptists. Why? Because, you know what I'd rather be? Rich. Notice what he says? Rich in faith. You know, we always joke, and I'm sorry if you're Catholic, but basically, I know that I'm never going to say Catholics are not rich. Okay, all you got to do is go over to the Vatican. You know the Vatican is its own country, and the little, we were joking about it yesterday. All right, just so you know, I don't have a little Pope mobile. Have you ever see that thing? I mean, he has his own little mobile, his own little air, you know, they're their own country. Right? They have millions and millions and millions and millions in reserve. You know what? God says that in this world, what has he chosen? God's purpose has been to choose the poor of this world, rich in faith. Isn't that what Paul said in Corinthians? Remember Paul talking about that? If you want to turn there, that's found in, I believe, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, look at verse 18. Okay, notice what he said. For the preaching of the cross to them is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. All right, and notice later on, look at verse 23. For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek. So that's the without partiality. See that? Jew or Greek. At this time, there was basically Gentile and there was Jew. And Jesus Christ on the cross united all of us. United us. And what is he saying? It's all through Jesus Christ. It's all through the cross. But Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And he goes through that, through this over and over. If you go down in chapter 2, he says in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And what he says over and over is that, hey, as an apostle coming, as the apostle Paul came in, I was not somebody rich. I was not somebody wealthy. In fact, most people considered me a fool. But guess what? Preaching the cross might be foolish. But for us that are saved, it makes us rich in faith. That's what James is saying in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, going back, he says, God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. Now, what he was addressing rich and poor. Now, it is not saying, and if you take this from the context, you are not dividing scripture properly. He is not saying that the wealthy we should not give the gospel to. But what he's saying is mirroring what Jesus said. Remember what he said? How hardly it is for them that are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. Now, why is that? What are they relying on? Riches. Because we know this. I mean, this is even in our society. And if you're so blind, you don't think that things can't be bought. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, there's no Santa Claus also. All right, there's no Easter Bunny. All right, and so there's a couple of things that today, man, I just ruined your day. All right, there's no Easter Bunny, there's no Santa Claus, and there are wealthy people that can buy almost anything. What world did I get born into? A wicked world. Okay? And so there are people that use their money, and they basically think they can get anything they want. That's why it's hard for them to get saved. That's what Jesus... Why? Because they are resting in what? Their riches. But you know what I've found? I don't want to be rich in wealth and in possessions. I was just telling a pastor recently, this week I was talking to him. Because you know, sometimes like, God, look at these guys. They throw away in 1 week. What, man, we could pay off bills. We could pay off buildings. Man, these rich people, they throw this stuff just away like it's paper. And it really is. But, I mean, just handle it our way. But you know what God does? He keeps me on my knees. Because he wants all of us to be people of faith. Partiality goes against Christian faith. Partiality, you see in this passage, goes against God's purpose. What is God's purpose? God's purpose many times is to choose those that are weak in this world and build up their faith. Because guess what it testifies to? It testifies to the strength of our God. I can tell you this, I shouldn't be standing behind this pulpit. I shouldn't be able to preach God's word. But God likes to take silly people and weak people and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you go do my bidding? And encourage others. Encourage others who maybe have a similar background. We can encourage others who maybe don't have so much and say, hey, you know what? God can use him. He can use you also. That's what God wants. God wants us to see that he does like choosing those that'll funnel the praise to God, not to ourselves. If I had all the wealth in the world and I had all the charisma in the world and I had all the education in the world, some people might look and say, well, he can do it because he's got a gifted mind. Most of you, you've talked to me, you know he ain't got a gifted mind. And I know this, I don't have all the wealth in the world, but God says, I can use you. And I'll make you rich in faith, and I'll make you rich in the things of God, and that way it encourages other people. That's one of God's purposes. Because then people look and say, I don't get it. I don't get it. How come God used them or chose them? Because God wants all of us to see that the gospel is for everybody. It's the great equalizer. Rich or poor, born in whatever country, it doesn't matter what country you are in, you can find Jesus. So we see a couple of things, but then we notice also, if you keep going down, verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? And also, so partiality goes against Christian principles. And what is he saying there? So it goes against Christian faith. It goes against God's purpose. It also goes against Christian principles. And that is, God does not want us lifting somebody up that takes his name in vain. And I can go back, and I am not here to get all into politics, but some of you, even when you vote, it is sad because some of you, you put maybe some prejudice or you put some partiality before the principles of God's word. If I have a choice to vote for somebody and they are voting and their record indicates that they will kill babies, I am not voting for them. As much as in me, I'm not voting for it. Why? Because I first am loyal to God. That is number one. And partiality for me says, well, they gave me some money. My welfare should not indicate how I'm going to vote. Because somebody buys my vote. Because somebody all of a sudden, they can give me something. We need to be careful. And in our church, oh, if I can befriend this person, maybe they can help us. But they're wicked people. Yeah, well, we'll kind of overlook that. That's wrong. Remember the story of Peter Marshall? Peter Marshall one time was preaching, and he was a traveling evangelist, a circuit preacher, and for a while he was the chaplain of the Congress. Now, that was many, many years ago, okay? Because if you read Peter Marshall's messages, he wouldn't make it long in the Senate today, or the Congress. But one time, one of the presidents, I can't remember which one of the presidents was going to sit in the service, and so one of the either deacons or elders or whatever, came to Peter Marshall and said, hey, you may want to change your message. So-and-so, the president, is going to be sitting there. Well, he reared back and fired it up. I mean, preached a hard message on sin. Afterwards, he was told the president wanted to see him. He thought, oh, great. And the president came up and said, hey, if I had an army of people like you, nothing could stop this nation from being great. You know why? Because he knew he had God. He had loyalty not to a person, but to God. And that's what James is addressing to all of us. James is saying that when you have partiality, you're going against Christian faith. You're going against God's purpose. You're going against God's principles. But then in verses 8 through 13, this is where remember I said in verse 8, he renamed. This is the only time that this idea of the royal law, it also goes against the royal law, God's law of love. What's God's law? Look at what it says. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some of you, a couple weeks ago, I know that there was one lady that was here and said that I was really fired up, all right, a couple weeks ago. Because I've been studying the book of James for a long time. And the reason I got fired up is because in our church, when I see something that is contrary to scriptures, I'm going to belt it out that it's wrong. And it's wrong for some of you in this church as you're young maybe and you're starting to have a family to have partiality towards some of the little kids that come in on our buses. And you say, ooh, well, you know, I don't know about their breeding. They deserve Jesus. And what you are going to do is you're going to make a Mr. Dork. I'm glad I named him that now. Because guess what? Mr. or Mrs. Dork is going to be your kid. And you're like, oh, they have breeding. No, no, no. What your job is to let them love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. And the second command is like unto it, and it's called the royal law. And that is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this is the question. So I take it you don't want yourself in your house. Because according to the Bible, it says that's how you would treat you. However I'm going to treat myself, that's how I treat my neighbor. And you know what? Everybody that walks in our doors should understand that the gospel is here for them. Now, I understand if they're not going to accept the gospel, and I understand if they want to be wicked. You know, as far as the preaching, that's what James is dealing with. James is dealing very hard. He's very practical. He wants us to live our faith. And living our faith means that when we're tested, we can stand the test. Living our faith in chapter 1 means that when temptation is there, when sin and we're tempted to sin, I can work through that and I can say, no, I'm resisting temptation. Oh, James, he's not going to hold back. He wants you to live your faith. But living your faith means also that when it comes to people in our society, that our goal is to show them Christ. Why? Because Christ can change their life. He changed us. He made us a holy people. He made us a righteous people. He made us a pure people. Isn't that worth sharing and giving to others? I read a story, and we close with this. I read a story of a man, and he was riding on a train. You'll understand because this probably happened to you. He was riding on a train, and he was looking out the window. And he's looking, he was passing through cities, and he was passing through some country area. And as he would come up to different stopping points, he would look out this window, and he said to himself in his mind, man, those are ugly people. I mean, and I know Ross back there, he wasn't just going through Philadelphia. All right? We always talk about Philly, the ugliest city in America. All right? But he wasn't just going through Philly nonstop. He was going through, and he's just like, wow, man, look at that. And then he looked out one team, and he was like, ooh, wow, that person, I can't tell. I mean, they look so distorted. And you know. So he pushed down the window. And everything was back to normal. The people looked normal. The people were kind of nice looking now. They weren't so distorted. Their head wasn't like, guess what it was? He was looking through a window that was all speckled and had different edges on it. And guess what it did? It distorted his view. Some of you, you have a distortion in your life. Partiality. And what it's doing, when you finally come before Christ and Christ renews and gives you that proper perspective, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see people like Christ sees them. And it was already touched on. It's one of the things that just, it's so hard to understand. How can Jesus, without partiality, being crucified on the cross, and one of the sayings, what is one of the sayings? Father, forgive them? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. No, take that out. All right, I'm going, no. I don't believe that one was there. Father, forgive them? Here are people that maligned you all while you were here on this earth, and then they pull your beard out, and then they put a crown of thorns, and then they nail you to a tree, and they beat you to where, according to the Old Testament, it did not even seem like he was human, and yet he forgave them. Why? Because he knew that their soul deserves saving. Partiality can ruin a church, brethren. It can ruin a church. It can make us malign somebody in our church. It can make us be haughty because of our breeding. I know, as I've studied this, and I know this because I'm also in just a couple weeks preaching on the tongue. Man, it's convicting. Because you know, our tongues, they just wag and say stuff. And some of it is sometimes with partiality. I don't know how you've been raised. We don't have a choice in the home that we're born into. I wasn't up in heaven like, no. Hey, not that one! All right. No! Oh, that's Antarctica! There's nobody there! You can't have me in a family there! I don't even think there is family there, just so you know it. But we don't have a choice. We can't be like, you know, nudging on God's robe, like, hey, no. No, that family. But this is what I can tell you. And whatever family we're born into, God looks down without partiality, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, I don't know your breeding. I don't know your home. But if you're without Christ, Christ says, come unto me. He's willing, and he was willing, to die on the cross, and he forgave. Why? Because he wants everybody to receive Christ. And it is especially true. I think the reason James addressed the rich and poor is because we see that often in our society. We see the rich getting favors, and we see the rich doing this. And then sometimes we understand that and we see that, and yet we treat them with that specialness or partiality. And then we see someone that's poor, we're like, well, they're a little poorer than us, and so we can look down upon them. Hey, a caste system has been through all generations. But God says, if you're rich in faith and you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to take down that window that is distorting your vision. And you're going to see people like God sees them. And that is that they're sinners. And those that are saved by grace, all of us, are equal. God help us to not be partial towards others. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. It could be, and I've mentioned a couple of times about salvation. It could be this morning that God just touched your heart, and I don't know That's why I believe God wanted me to just touch on it. I don't know your breeding. I don't know your home. I don't know your parents. But that doesn't matter. And you would say, you know what? God just touched my heart, and I don't know that I'm saved. And that means that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have never done that, and God convicted you this morning, and you're saying, would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? Is there anybody like that? You'd slip up your hand and you'd say, you know what? I don't know that I'm saved this morning. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. All right. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. You say, God convicted me. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, I am not sure I'm saved this morning. You say, God convicted me in this area. Now, when I pray for you, that doesn't get you saved. We have a time of invitation. Some of you may have never had an invitation, but an invitation is where people come down, they pray at the altar. If they need someone to talk to, that's why we have men down here. But if you're wanting to know more about salvation, I would ask you to catch one of the men. If you're a man will deal with you. If you're a lady will deal with you. They'll take you in the back so it's quiet. And they can show you through Scripture how Jesus died for you, so that you can go to heaven. It may also be that this morning you're a Christian and in your life you've had partiality. And you know it. God just zeroed in and just, man, He is tugging at your heart. And that tugging at the heart is that Holy Spirit. And He's just knocking there. And He's saying, you've been partial. And you need to be impartial. You've had some ought, maybe even against a fellow brother. Partiality. You're like, oh, you don't know who I am. And you've looked down on others. That is dead wrong. Look what Christ has done for you. He looked down on you. He could. He should. But guess what? He's raised me up and now I'm an heir with the Father. Man, Jesus Christ has done an amazing thing in your life. Why don't you offer that to others? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this time of invitation. Bless it, Lord. I pray for those that raise their hand about salvation. If they do not know you as their Savior, give them the boldness to come forward. Lord, those Christians that need to deal with something in their heart, I pray that you would help them to deal with that and make it right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing